Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This is the June 3rd edition of Commodity Week. Corn futures posted new contract highs this week, but some are concerned about a top. Is that the right thinking? Others say no. We'll ask our panelists their thoughts today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Alan Brugler, a Brugler Marketing and Management from Omaha, Nebraska. Our panelists in studio today include Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, Greg Johnson of the Andersons from Champaign, Illinois, and Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media and the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, the University of Illinois. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Well, let's start today's discussion with this question. Paul Cooley, there seems to be some real division among analysts as to whether this corn market is to be bought or sold or stood aside. What do you think?
We were very busy this week taking profits in our long positions, and that's the way I'd like to leave it at this minute.
Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group.
Corn's kind of poison right now. It's just about anybody touches it as an end user is losing money. So the market has kind of accomplished what it needed to do, is to go up to a point where you could begin to see some slowdown in demand, and we're beginning to see that.
And Greg Johnson of the Andersons.
Yeah, corn has gone up tremendously this year already, up 18%, and that's the third best of all the commodities we track. Only cotton and Minneapolis wheat have gone higher than corn. So are we due for a little bit of a correction, especially if we get corn planted in Ohio and Indiana? Sure, you know, temporarily. But just because we plant corn on June 1st doesn't automatically mean we're going to get a trend line yield on those acres. So we've got a long ways to go yet.
In Chicago this week, the corn market finished this way with a $7.70 top, a bottom at $7.41 in the July. The lead option settlement price down 4.5 cents at $7.54. December contract, a new contract high for the life at $6.96¾ for the harvest month, a low at $6.65, settlement price at $6.86¼. It was up just 2¼ cents for the week. Remember, we give you the overnight and day trade, open outcry, and electronic for the high, the low, and the settlement price change is from week to week. 2¼ cents means the corn must have been poison for at least 2 weeks now. Is that right?
Well, technically, the market seems to be in pretty good shape. I think you, especially on December corn, that's the one I'm basically more concerned with at the moment. You know, we were kind of set up for a double top, and yesterday the market was able to blow right through that 84 level. We went on up into this 95, 96. Now, today we fell back to that point of breakout. It'll be real interesting to see how the market performs early next week, whether or not it can hold this 86 level or not.
How's cash basis on old and new crop been following along?
Old crop corn basis has improved 25 cents in the last 30 days. Old crop bean basis has improved 20 cents in the last 30 days. So that's a pretty good indication right there that there's not a whole lot of corn left, and what corn is left, the farmers are very tight holders of. I think they want to see whether they get the crop planted, what kind of start they get off to with the new crop before they let loose of those remaining bushels of old crop stocks.
We turn from the month of May to the month of June during this week. Farmers have to make some decisions about whether they're going to continue to plant corn, plant soybeans, take a government payment. What do you think they'll do?
From all indications that I hear and listen to is that the farmers are planting full throttle, and we're going to get a lot of planting, probably a record planting day on June the 5th, and we'll probably loop about 5 to 7 days in on that day.
So, Paul, can you take me through kind of where you think folks have begun to catch up? So Southern Illinois.
Southern Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, I think those people are really pushing at full throttle. They plant more. The guidance system helps them plant later at night. They learned how to, you know, do a lot of spraying to get the weeds under control. And the other thing that we've noticed, too, is that the corn that has emerged, the boys really went full throttle on planting a lot more corn here in Illinois than I even dreamed they would. So all indications are that we are going to have a very large acreage in the state of Illinois in corn.
And you mean by acreage, not by total population in a field, right?
Well,
or both.
I think that what the corn I saw, there might be a couple little holes out there somewhere, but I think the stands look pretty darn good to me.
All right. Does that mean that you're stand where with the corn market?
Well, I think right now that you'd have to say the trend is up. I think it would take something like a trade like 670 on the D's to turn it into a downtrend.
Dan, who's been rationed out of the corn market?
Well, you're starting to see a lot of your livestock people in the southeast move to wheat now with wheat harvest underway. So you're seeing a slowdown in demand there. As far as being totally out, there's only so long you can do these red margins on ethanol. I know some of them have been averaging into it, but that only lasts so long. So I think you're going to see, and you can take a look at export sales, what they've done here over the past month or so. Yeah, we've had a good week or so, but for the most part, things have kind of slowed down right now.
Greg, last week on this program, we discussed the possibility, and actually the factual possibility, that you could bring a train back and make a basis play. Do you think that's been happening more frequently in the last 2 weeks?
Oh, I don't know that it's been happening. You know, I'm sure there are instances where that kind of thing happens, but I think right now people want the corn. The livestock feeders want the corn. The ethanol guys want the corn. At some point in time, it may make sense for them to release that, and they may make more money by shutting down and selling that grain back, but I don't think we're to that point yet.
That brings me to the end of the month reports, acreage, of course, and then there's the quarterly grain stocks report. Will there be an adjustment made for old crop ending stocks?
That's a good question. I think there will be. I think there could be. I'll put it that way. I think there could be. There was a lot of confusion and questioning about the government's numbers from the March 31 stocks report, whether everything got factored in or not. So, you know, that one definitely could. We could see a change.
The thing he left out is whether the crop was going to be bigger on the stocks or lower. And my hunch is that with the basis levels working the way they are, and the way the commercials dump their inventory because they're afraid of higher margin requirements and meeting hedging requirements, I think that we've seen a situation where the governments could even actually tighten the carryover on old crop corn, because I think the cupboard is bare as far as that's concerned. And, of course, the big guessing game. And I'd like to remind everybody, a guy has to wait till June the 10th at least to see just how much of a modern miracle we do see as far as this planting progress is concerned. Right now these guys are really going full throttle in the areas that need to go.
Dan, quarterly grain stocks report.
The trend is your friend, and every government report we've had this crop year is basically came in on the low side of stocks numbers, so I guess I would stay with that.
Okay. On new crop sales, do we make them or stand aside at this point?
I think we stand aside depending on where you're at. I assume people have anywhere from a quarter to a third, some people as much as a half. I don't think you want to get much more than that sold. Just because we have corn planted, I mean, we in past years, we've never worried about getting the corn planted. What do we worry about? Weather and pollination time. So this is just one extra thing to worry about, plus all the problems that we've got in, you know, other countries overseas.
As anybody that's been following me for the last year, I've been pretty much a seasonal pattern guy. Let the seasonal work for you. That has worked. We are now in the window here over the next 3 weeks here. That is a high degree of probability that would be a good, excellent selling opportunity in here. It's not necessarily, I'm not going to necessarily pick the high in here, but you can go back over the years, and June rallies have often been good selling opportunities. And I think to go higher from here, you're going to have adverse weather in July, August.
With this aggressive planting that I'm seeing, and also the higher acreage of corn being planted here in Illinois, I think a person does have to be very alert on having some price protection on here at these levels.
How about for soybean?
The soybean's a little different animal. I'm very amazed at the way the soybean market is acting. And my impression is that it must be Chinese buying. I can't imagine the commodity funds ran this thing up 50, 60 cents. But if I think it's some Chinese buying. My hunch is that the way the bean market acts, it wants to go a little higher here.
July soybeans this week settled at $14.19.5 on their high, the low at $13.66.5. And up 34 and three quarters by the end of the week at $14.14.5 for the July. November contract, a 14.03 and a quarter high, a low at $13.54 and three quarters. New crop settled $13.97, up 28.5. What do you think drove the market higher?
I think it was a lot of shorts were betting on big soybean acres on the planting delays, and they got caught. We're only a few cents away basically from new highs for the year in soybeans. The other thing is I'm not too sure that the bean acres are going to be as high as what the market has been working. I think USDA's March numbers were probably high clear across the board. And so I think we're going to see what happens on June 30th.
I think Dan hit it right on the head. Just because you plant more or less corn, let's say you plant 1.5 million less corn acres, that doesn't necessarily translate into 1.5 million more bean acres. There is prevented planting that could happen. You know, the other thing is it's been awful wet in Canada. You know, in the spring wheat areas, they grow a lot of canola up there. That's a competing source of oil. It's been too dry over in Germany and France. They grow a lot of rapeseed over there in Europe. So those are two competitors that probably will have a lower supply, and that augur for higher prices in the soybean market.
Wheat futures this week, July contract at 807.5 top, bottom in Chicago at 754 and a quarter, settlement price 46 cents lower at 773 and three quarters, July at 918 and a quarter for 2012. That's next year's crop, down 16 and a quarter. I don't have the spring wheat number with me. I suspect they finished higher because they didn't put a lot of spring wheat acres in.
I recommend any person that wants to trade wheat to trade with my competitors, for starters. And number two is that 925 to 950 new crop July wheat futures looks awful tempting as far as planting wheat next year. I think the problem is there's a lot of major problems in wheat, and you have to be a brave soul to even think about trading wheat.
Well, you're a brave soul, but can wheat, and here we have a wheat market that's lower this week.
Well, we had Russia basically dumping, saying they're selling their inventory. And, my private meteorologist says that we're probably 10 days away from getting a good rain in the dry areas of Russia. I think we got some problems in China. But the problem is that wheat is a feed grain on this wide basis that's being harvested right now. And my opinion is it's a tough market to trade, and that's the reason I don't want to trade it.
How about the Andersons? What are you thinking?
The wheat is, you know, there are more wheat acres out there, but, you know, I think wheat, there's such good carry in the market that everybody wants to own wheat. So we've seen basis levels really improve. I think we started the year for new crop wheat at somewhere around 75 to 90 under. We're already at 35 under, and I don't see that weakening. It's going to get better as we go through harvest. People want to store wheat because there's big carries in the market.
It's all about the carry in the wheat market, and basically the crop's probably not as big as what the market would like to have it, and now you're getting feed interest on the wheat side, and basically it's sideways to higher here going into harvest.
Let's take a look at the rest of the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for the week. The live cattle futures at $105.10, up a nickel on the week. August feeder cattle at $124.25, were $1.52.5 higher. And the change on the lean hogs for the week was 75 cents lower at $89.47.5. We'll return in just 2 minutes when we'll talk with Alan Brugler. He's with Brugler Marketing and Management. Our panelists in studio today for this edition of Commodity Week include Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group, he's in Decatur, Illinois, and Greg Johnson of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. The month of May and meteorological spring ended with very summer-like weather this week. May temperatures as a whole averaged pretty close to normal across the state of Illinois, but that hardly told a story. The first and third weeks of May were much cooler than normal, while the fourth and second weeks were warmer than normal. Temperatures this week, which include the first part of June, were 4 to 9 degrees above normal. The temperature reached 90 degrees early this week, and dew points in the 60s made it seem more like July. A brisk wind with the warm weather helped keep it a little more comfortable, and that also helped to promote good evaporation rates to help dry out fields. There was a sharp gradient in the rainfall this week across the state, ranging from little rain in southern Illinois to several inches of rain in northern Illinois. However, all of that rain fell last weekend, and except for rain in western and central Illinois on Thursday, most of the rest of the state was dry the remainder of the week. A frontal system will be oscillating across the northern half of Illinois this weekend and early next week, keeping chances for scattered showers and thunderstorms alive for the northern third of Illinois. To the south of the boundary, warm and humid weather will prevail. The best chance for rain in central and southern Illinois will be late in the week when a low passing through the southern Great Lakes will drag a cold front south through Illinois. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This is the June 30 edition of Commodity Week. Our panelists in studio include Greg Johnson of the Andersons, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group, and Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. On the phone line is Alan Brugler. He's the president of Brugler Marketing and Management, primary analyst and the advisor there. Alan grew up on a dairy farm in northeast Ohio. And the farm, Ridgedale Holsteins, is still in the family, operated by his brother Glenn and his father Bob. Thank you so much for being with us, Alan. How are things there in Omaha, Nebraska?
Well, we're looking at some pretty decent weather today, with high 80s for temperatures. Got a little wind here. It's drying out some of the moisture that we'd had over the last couple of days here. We've had some pretty blustery weather, as has been the case in some other parts of the country, but most of the corn out here is up anywhere from 6 to 8 inches, and we're just feeling pretty good right now, unless you happen to be along one of the river bottoms. The main news story out here is that Corps of Engineers is increasing their water releases out of the dams to 150% or 200% of normal, and that's already flooded out some of my clients' bottom land.
And then if you turn your attention a couple of other places across the Midwest, you're a bit closer to the Dakotas, and you have roots in Ohio. What do you think?
Well, in Ohio, they're definitely planting. Most of my clients were pretty quiet this week because they were too busy to talk to me. But I did visit with my brother a little bit earlier. They have not planted yet. He's expecting to plant about a third of his ground tomorrow. But he's still got a lot of standing water, and he indicated that one of the problems is that the tile outlets, that's an area that has to be drained with tile pretty extensively, the tile outlets are running even with the creek bank. In other words, the water's too high in the river to make the tile work the way they're supposed to. So it's not, I'm a little skeptical about this blistering pace of planting that I was hearing about, at least for parts of Ohio where they've had quite a bit of rain. We're definitely making progress. We're probably going to be 50-60% done in Ohio by Monday, but that's not 100% by any stretch.
So if we're only 60% planted or less, we're after the June 5th prevented planting date. Do farmers continue to plant corn, or do they take the prevented planting, or do they switch over to beans in Ohio?
Well, I think there's a couple things going on there. First of all, if you have livestock, you've about got to stick with the corn. You need the corn, and at these kind of prices, you don't want to buy it retail if you can grow it. So those guys are going to stick with the corn as late as they possibly can. And you know, I know of some guys that have planted corn even first as late as June 30th or July 1st if all they wanted was silage out of it. So that's number one. Number two, in general, the grain guys are saying they'll go 5 to 10 days after the prevent plant date before they're going to seriously consider either taking the payment or switching to beans. The revenue differential between prevent plant and what you can lock it in on the board right now is still very heavily in favor of the going ahead and planting it. If you take the prevent plant, you lose any upside, you know, if corn continues to rally. And you get out there about 10 days or so, and after you're losing that 1% of your yield every day for planting after the date, then it starts to get a little dicier as to whether you ought to continue to do it. The other point that was made to me this week was that basically the guaranteed revenues are a lot better for corn than they are for beans. So, you know, given a choice, the guy would rather plant the corn or would rather, whatever prevent plant he takes, he'd rather have it on the corn than on the beans.
Yeah. Alan, this is Dan. How you been?
I'm good, Dan. Long time no see.
Yeah, it has been. Taking into account what you see, what kind of planted numbers are you going to put on your balance sheets?
Well, we're using U.S. 90.2 million right now. So not as extreme as some of them you've probably seen in the last week or so, but basically, just to give you real quick detail, we've got about 1.4 million down from the March intentions for North Dakota, South Dakota, Ohio, and Indiana, and we're up about 500,000 for Nebraska, Iowa, and Illinois. And then you throw in what's going on in the South and North Carolina and so forth, and that's where you get the 90.2. We went through and did a pretty much a state-by-state analysis of what we thought the plantings were. Then we looked at harvested acres and yield. I think for right now you've got to use a 157 or 158 yield nationally.
Dan, Alan, I like watching you on Market to Market. And what would a good 160 acres in northwest Iowa sell today, you know, at a public auction?
Well, northwest or northeast? I talked to a guy in northeast who just paid $9,500 for some here the other day. So Northwest, I haven't heard anything that high yet, but it's possible. Again, you can't make it, even at these prices, you can't make that pay right away. But what these guys are looking at is if they can hit a home run the first year on it and basically knock down that principal, then it kind of fits in with the rest of their portfolio.
Are you very concerned, Alan, about total production or yield for this year? I know we haven't gotten into the primary season for that just yet, but we're a long ways into the planting season. How much yield do you think might have been lost?
Well, again, the yield development is really difficult because, as we found out the last 2 years, it makes a lot of difference what weather is in late July, early August. The Iowa State Agronomy Department told me that actually Iowa's not the optimal place to grow corn. It's on the Colorado Plateau under irrigation. And the reason for saying that was they have cooler nights up there and more sunlight during the day. That's really the optimal combination. But if you translate that to Iowa, that what that means is that when you have a little cooler and wetter year, you tend to have higher yields, which we certainly found in 2009. When you get those warm summer nights like we had in 2010 and the plants don't respirate properly, you lose yield. So, you know, the big yield determinant is going to be that late July and very early August weather. And the problem with late planting is you're concentrating too much of your production in that high temperature window for pollination purposes.
Alan, you're using 90.2 million for your corn number. Do you think the USDA will come out with that kind of a number on June 30th, given the fact that they took the survey on June 1? will they have to do another follow-up survey in July like they did 2 years?
They're going to have to do another follow-up survey, certainly for Ohio, Indiana, probably the Dakotas. Because they're just going to get a lot of we don't knows. I've seen estimates 11, 12, 13 million acres were unplanted as of the 1st of June. So maybe that's a little high, but the point is that's, you know, more than 10% of the crop base. So if they don't resurvey, I'll be surprised. But again, there's nobody in the trade that's going to think that June 1 number that they publish at the end of the month is the final number. You're probably going to have to wait for a resurvey, and then you're going to really have to wait for the FSA acreage to come out in the fall to really have a handle on it.
Alan, what are you telling your clients to do in here?
Well, actually, I'm not too far off from what was discussed earlier. We're about 30% forward priced, and we've got a few dece puts to kind of cover another 10 or 15% against the headline surprise until we could react to it, but we've had some technical objectives around between 701 and 710 for really since the first part of April, and we're just seeing that dece corn get up to that area now. So we'll reexamine it here and see how it's acting. But I do like the fact that some money came back in yesterday. You saw the open interest in corn go up about 20,000 contracts or so. So some money came off the table and said we want back in. This thing's not over yet. I like the fact the grains have been corn and beans, and to a lesser degree wheat, have been going against the tide that you're seeing with the equities. So that tells me there's still a story there, and people are nervous about those stocks.
Alan, the commodity exchanges raised the margin requirements considerably on silver and also crude oil. Were you surprised, and did they overdo it as far as margin requirements were concerned?
Well, I think one could make a case that they are out after somebody if you raise them four or five times in a week, okay? and it does appear that they accomplished it. If their objective was to deflate that silver balloon, they certainly got that done. And it's acting kind of deflated right now. It tried to rally this week and really couldn't get any traction. So But they have to look at their risk models and say, as a clearinghouse, do we have enough money in here to settle up? And are we getting too many people that aren't putting the money up when they're supposed to? And so from that degree, I think they were responsible in what they did.
Alan, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Alan Brugler is the president of Brugler Marketing and Management in Omaha, Nebraska. Now a final word from our panelists in studio. We'll start with you, Greg Johnson.
We've got a wide range of opinions as far as how many acres we're going to plant. We also have a wide range of opinions on yields. So this market, I think, until we get some answers, is a long way from being over.
Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group.
I'm personally more worried about the U.S. economy and the world economy than probably the grain markets at the moment. And I think ultimately if the economy does begin to fall off the cliff, I think it'll take commodities with it.
Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much to our panelists in studio, including Paul Cooley of ADM and Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group and Greg Johnson of the Andersons. And that wraps up this June 3rd edition of Commodity Week.